joining me in the studio now, Jody Omar, the superintendent of Mapleton Schools. I haven't seen you in a while. How are you doing?
Great. I'm doing great.
Good, good. So your extended summer vacation is coming to an end, is it? Or
it is. It's coming to a quick end. We didn't think it'd get here soon enough, but teachers came back this week for a couple days of professional development, so we're off and rolling.
Let's talk about Mapleton Schools versus Cyus Law Schools, because it's a little bit different in that you guys don't have the numbers that Cyus Law School has. How has that played a role in how you operate or operating things?
In comprehensive distance learning, no. But when we're able to move into the hybrid model, I think it will allow us to have students on campus more because we have fewer students. So we're able to meet the cohort restrictions, the square footage restrictions for number of staff and students in a classroom easier than Cyus Law will.
How has the reaction of the teachers been over this extended period? What kind of things have you heard from them as far as concerns and or good things even maybe that have come out of this?
So we are starting school in comprehensive distance learning. And so that's kind of what our goal was this week, bringing teachers back, was to get them oriented, give them professional development, and let them just live in that world and get that going so we can do that really well when we start. Some of the concerns for staff have been health related. Either they're high risk or they have family members that are high risk, concern for our students. So other than health related concerns with teachers coming back with students on campus, which obviously isn't happening right now, the concerns have not been with COVID. The concerns have been more with the students not being on campus. It's a huge detriment to our students. We believe that. We know that. But until it's safe for all pre-K-12 students to come on campus based on the state and county metrics we're expected to meet before we allow for hybrid, we're going to be in CDL for a while.
How are you going to handle the comprehensive distance learning as far as getting students the information they need, internet accessibility, you know, maybe hand delivery of items? How is Mapleton set up for that?
So we have 3 days of individual student orientations. We'll be calling families next week to schedule them. So what originally was the first week of school, September 8th, 9th, and 10th, we will be having orientation meetings with our families. So each student gets to meet with their teacher, or for middle school, high school, they get to meet with a teacher, and it's orientation. So for our K-6 students, we're providing Chromebooks. They've never had those before, and so it'll be a little bit more of a teaching them how to use it, how to log in. For K-6, we're using the Clever single sign-on platform. So they sign in with one login, and then they have access to the applications we want them to use, which is Seesaw, Zoom, and if there's other apps, Dreambox, Wonders Online that we want them to use, they just use that through Clever. So doing some orientation with our students and their families, giving them the schedules, the expectations. We have a technology hotline for them to call if they have questions. When are teachers' office hours? How do you get a hold of them? So basically, the orientation is the time for us to just sit one-on-one with families and say, all right, for your second grader, this is what we're providing. Here's what it's going to look like. If you have questions, here's how you handle it. And then, same with a high school student. They're a little bit more tech savvy. They've had Chromebooks before at the high school, so that won't be as new to them. We are using Zoom K-12 for our virtual learning platform. We've been working with ESD to provide professional development on that. And then the 7th, 12th graders will be using Google Classroom as their instructional model and assignments back and forth. We're not doing paper packets back and forth. Everything will be online. If there's a need, or, we're so small, we can meet individual family needs. So if there is a need for paper packet, for instance, like you mentioned, somebody who doesn't have internet. Right now, we've collected all the information of who doesn't have internet, who doesn't have cell service. So if you don't have internet and you don't have cell service, those are the families we're going to really focus on.
Right. You're kind of in the backwoods at that
right.
point.
And yeah. there are some families where that is the case. There's no cell service, or there's cell service if I stand in the window and hold my phone up high, and there's no internet. So those are the families we're going to have to work with on what does this look like for you.
How does this comprehensive distance learning differ from, say a self-paced program or a homeschool program? I get the sense from talking with a couple of parents that I've talked with is that their concern is they might not be able to help their students learn the information if it becomes necessary. How is that unfolding as far as, you know, parents that might be a little bit paranoid, more so than the students are, of, gee, how am I going to be able to help if I need to?
And so I think that's with our schedules that we've laid out for our students, K-12, we are providing the instruction that kids need, but also at the same time, the support, small group support. This is our office hour time. Check in if you have questions. Here's how you reach your teacher. We are having all staff on campus. And that is, the reason for that is staff morale is one thing. We missed that last spring. You know, staff dispersed and never really got back together. And so having a staff member, even if it's just, you know, they're down the hall in the next room that you can call or knock on their door and ask questions. You can have lunch outside 6 feet apart. Staff morale is important, but also for communication for our families. You know, if our families want to get hold of a teacher, they call the office and they need to still be able to do that, and email. But we're also going to have online time for not just our parents to call in or to ask questions, but we're hoping to get our students to kind of self-advocate and say, ooh, I know she talked about that this morning. I don't get it. What time? Okay, I need to log in and ask her a question. That's what we're kind of hoping, so that it creates a true virtual classroom where they really are raising their hand to ask a question, but it could be one-on-one via Zoom.
My thought or my feeling would, this is going to be a whole new learning curve, even more so than what just happened in the spring, because now you're planning on the potential of doing this. If the governor says what she says, you're looking at April, but I mean, hopefully that's not the case. The learning curve for younger students, on one point, they learn quicker, but in another aspect, there's the motivational aspect of it. A lot of kids in this environment, in the CDL environment, have to be self-motivated. How do you teach that when you're not there to teach it?
Right. So some of the things we're coming up with are ways to get our students engaged outside of the classroom. So, for instance, we're going to have story time every day. And our librarian is going to be offering story time. They log in for story time so they can have a connection with kids, not just listen to the story, but have that connection. So that's one of the things we're working on, is what are some ways we can get our students engaged in learning? Not just, I mean, we can't go back to the way we're used to teaching, you know, where we talk, and then kids do. It's going to have to be more of an I do it, we do it, you do it. Now let's go back to I do it, we do it, you do it, so that there's the kids are feeling engaged and it's not just teachers talking. For the elementary, that's going to be probably the biggest challenge. We're really thrilled with the program Seesaw. I know Siosaw is also using it. Shout out to Mike Harkleroad. He's the one who put me on the avenue of using Clever and Seesaw. They have very hands-on, very interactive activities for kids to do, where go outside and find five things, come in, make a picture using those five items from nature and write a story. And then you take a picture of it and you upload it to your portfolio, and then your teacher sees it and your parent sees it. So because that's something new for our elementary kiddos, I'm thinking and hoping that it's not just novelty, that it's going to be something exciting and new for them to do technology-wise. We're also trying to get our kids ready for, I mean, they need 21st century skills, and technology's going to be here forever.
Now, that's great for reading and writing. Now, arithmetic is a little bit different. I remember, you probably don't even remember this. I remember the days when the teacher would sit there and talk about the equation, and then have you give you a list of 10 equations to work out. And as you're working them out, the teacher is walking down the aisles, looking at the students, seeing, being able to go, oh, well, no, you need to do this first or that first. There's that at-the-moment learning, whereas a student is doing it from the distance, may work on that problem and think they have it all right, and then realize they have to relearn it again. How do you kind of deal with that hands-on immediate response when a need arises?
So the way we've structured for elementary is to we have a certain amount of time for reading and math. But within our classroom, which is the Zoom meeting, it's not just the teacher, but there's also an educational assistant in there. So there's time to have breakout rooms for small group So, and we're doing single grade level instruction. So instead of our blended classes of 25, we might have a single group of first graders and there may be 12. So you have the instruction, and then you can break out into smaller groups. We're also sending supplies home with our students during orientation, so they'll get a big supply box. And within that, there will be some manipulatives that we know we're going to use for math or reading, pencils, paper, the normal school supplies, right, but also things that we think they might need. We also, once a week with our food delivery, we'll be delivering supplies for the next week. So if it's something that we need to send Unifix cubes home for some math activities, we'll send them home with the kiddos. And so we want to be able to give them the supplies that they need, but there's also stuff at home you can use for that. And you go in the cupboard and get out some pasta. Those work great for counting and for separating. So we're hoping to get, you're going to have to get creative. And there will be some students that will struggle with the self-motivation. And it's our job to identify who those are and connect them more one-on-one. At the end of September, early October, we will be looking at adding in limited in-person instruction, which will allow us to bring not just struggling learners and not just special ed students, but students that might need more of a connection, personal connection with their teacher or with a staff member, as well as students who struggle and don't have internet access. So we're waiting to get, we want to get CDL going, we want to get it going well and solid, and then we're going to look to bring in some limited in-person instruction. Hopefully by then, we'll be able to move into hybrid.
What about some external resources? Like, for example, I know that a while back, I was trying to figure out how to do this one problem. And don't ask me why I was doing math, but it had something to do with construction. I was able to Google it and go to a YouTube video where it actually explained that very same thing. Have you guys thought of doing your own YouTube channel where you have certain instructions for certain items like an algebraic equation or something? Have you guys thought about doing something like that?
Our high school math teacher has. In fact, she started it last spring when we started doing distance learning, making videos so kids can actually go and watch the video about what she just taught, but watch it again and again for questions. We're not sure the venue. We're not sure if that's going to be out on YouTube. There are other more educational-based videos, like there's a teacher tube. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, that is something that, especially for middle school, high school math, when it gets more into, like you said, the algebraic equations, that is something that our math teacher's looking at doing, as well as science.
Right.
You know,
chemistry or biology.
Art.
Or, yeah.
Here's the art project we're going to do in art two today.
Here's how you draw a face.
Well, it's more than that, George. Come to an art class sometime.
No, but I mean, really, the rudimentary instruction of drawing a face is very intricate.
That is true. It is intricate.
So it's not something simple. I wasn't trying to.
Okay.
I wasn't trying to demean that at all because, you know, our artistic ability is something that, if you don't have it, it takes a while to learn it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly,
you're not automatically creative like
that. Yeah.
Yeah, because I was wondering because, you know, it gives the students the opportunity not just to get a YouTube video of somebody showing them how a problem works, but giving them a YouTube video of their teacher showing them how the problem works, which is a more personal thing.
It is, you know, and there are great resources out there. Khan Academy is a great resource, and you can search by topic for support in how you do something. Math today is so different from when you and I learned it.
Probably more different from you learned it to I learned it.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
You know, it's getting the kids to think deeper and harder about why we're doing stuff and how it works. And so,
yeah. Well, I actually, college algebra, I retook in my 40s. And I've shared the story before, but the place I took it, the community college I took it, was a industry college and a mechanic college. So what they did was they applied the algebraic equation to textile equipment that they use to run, you know, fabrics and stuff through. When they did that, it was like a light went on and it clicked because I understood why we're using this algebraic equation. It wasn't just 2x parentheses 3 plus 5a, you know, and all that stuff. So it made more sense that way. So really the hands-on application makes a difference.
It does. Yeah. It does.
So what is the hope for, I mean, do you hope to be having some in-class instruction by, you know, the Thanksgiving holiday, Christmas, or What's the hope?
So we, every 4 to 5 weeks, once school starts, so mid-October and then again, November, we're going to be looking at, is that a move we can make to hybrid? I will be looking at, as well, a small team in Mapleton, the metrics to see if that's going to allow us to get there. You know, one of the things we also have to look at is the spread of the virus in our community, in our school community. And that's hard to do in our school district because our numbers are so small that Lane County Health doesn't report out about specifically right. for Mapleton, Deadwood, Swiss Home. And so we have to look at west of the tunnel, as well as where do our teachers and staff come from. You know, a lot of them live in Bonita and Eugene and Florence. So we're looking at more factors than just do we meet state metrics. Right now, we don't meet the state metrics to be able to open. I'm hopeful that beginning in October, we can bring in limited in-person instruction in small groups, and those are groups of 10 or less, to the elementary and then to the high school, with a limit of how many can be on campus within a week, with a limit of how many cohorts they can be a part of. There's some intricate details that are important to make sure we follow. And then my hope is that by Thanksgiving, we're in hybrid. You know, just watching the trending numbers trend down. Right now, the state test positivity rate is the one that is the glitch for us mm-hmm. being able to go into hybrid model. And right now, that's trending downward. And so we're hoping that it continues to trend down. And so that after 3 weeks of 5% or less than 5% test positivity rate, then we'll be able to move to hybrid.
It would be nice if Western Lane County had their own health department. I mean, because we really are so different than what Eugene is experiencing right now. And yet we are dependent upon the numbers from
Correct.
All of Lane County
yes.
and even for the state, which, you know, there's a lot of rural communities that are not experiencing the problems with COVID that some of the, you know, the metropolitan areas are. So right. that kind of puts us, you know, on the back burner there.
Right. As far it's as definitely a unique situation. Lane County Public Health has been very, very good at communicating. We have weekly meetings the superintendents and school officials have with Lane County Public Health just to talk about, you know, how is it looking, where we're going. So they have been very supportive, but, you know, we are a little different than the Eugene area.
Teachers excited to be coming back?
You know, they are. It's kind of a mixed bag because we're not back like we're used to. You know, we're since March, we've been mourning education and education as we know it and teaching as we know it. This is not why we went into education. We went into education to be with the kids, mm-hmm. to teach the kids, not the kids through the computer. And so it's been tough, but, you know, staff are resilient. They're embracing it, learning it, doing the best they can. You know, we're going to provide the best education we can for our kids because that's why we're in education. Ultimately, that will be hopefully in person in some form soon.
Well, and I guess it's a reminder, too, that this hopefully is very temporary.
Yes.
So let's get through it the best way we can and,
yes.
and get the kids back in as soon as we can.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Jody Amara, thank you so much for stopping in.
You're welcome. Thanks
good
for having me.
Good information there. I'm sorry we didn't get up with you sooner to find out what's happening in Mapleton, but it's always good to get a glimpse of what's happening there.
Perfect. Thanks for having me.
Ultra distance runner Lindsay Ulrich is joining us next on the September edition of Our Town.